Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Hawa, Tuxknusum, Salama, thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher. Today we chat with filmmaker Aaron Davidman about his new film, American Solitaire, which is having a special pre-release screening and Q&A around Southeast Alaska, including Juno, on March 23rd at the Gold Town. The film explores veteran stories and gun violence prevention. Conbrio's Art Songs, their artists on, will be here to talk about their performance this weekend on Friday and Saturday. And we'll have a preview of Curiosity Unleashed from the Juno STEAM Coalition happening next Monday, March 16th, at Thunder Mountain Middle School. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. Or catch us on our live stream on KTO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Juno audiences may have some familiarity with my first guest's work. Aaron Davidman directed Marcus Garley's epic The Road Weeps, The Well Runs Dry at Perseverance Theater back in 2013. His play, Wrestling Jerusalem, was presented at the Jack by Perseverance Theater in 2016. And the film version of Wrestling Jerusalem screened at the Juno Jewish Film Festival in 2019. Aaron has spent significant time in Southeast Alaska, and his new project, American Solitaire, had its genesis as a play that was read in Haines in 2021. Now it's his debut film as a director. It explores our nation's complex relationship with guns through the eyes of a wounded veteran. Aaron's bringing the film on a Southeast pre-release tour to Haines, Skagway, and then Juno on March 23rd at the Gold Town. He will be in town for the film and a Q&A after, but he joins us now via video. Gunath Chish, Igudi, thank you so much, Aaron. It's a pleasure to have you here. Where are you right now?
I'm in Berkeley, California right now.
Berkeley, California. That's where you call home, mm-hmm. right?
That's where I grew up, and we winter here in the Bay Area. Usually.
I see. But you come to Southeast Alaska a lot. You have over the years, but you, even when you're not doing a project, you still come here, yeah?
Well, yeah, we live in about four to five months up in Haines every year from May to September.
Oh, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, it's beautiful up here, and it's great to have you come back and continue to bring these projects that you work on to Southeast. So this film, American Solitaire, tell me about its beginnings as you first wrote it as a play and sort of workshopped it in Haines.
Well, you know, as as artistic projects goes, you know, Boston, they take circuitous paths often. And this initially was a full-length play with many different characters, 20 different, kind of a monologue-based survey of some of these issues around guns in America. I traveled around the country off and on for about a year, talking to people about guns and trying to really learn. Guns were not part of my family culture. And so I really wanted to learn about it. It's such a polarizing topic in our country. And I really wanted to try to open it up and really understand it better. And so I wrote a play actually called The Shooting Gallery. And then COVID hit and all of theater shut down.
Yeah, for sure.
So I had this fresh play ready to go, and then nobody was producing plays. So we actually came to Haynes for about a year and a half during COVID. And I did that thing where as part of artistic process, when something isn't really working, because I wasn't sure I'd really found it. This sort of survey, many different perspectives, many different characters. And so I did that thing where you do the opposite just as an exercise. Mm. And so instead of many characters, I decided, what if I focused in on one character and went really deep instead of a survey piece? And I thought the veteran character is really the most interesting character, who holds the most moral authority to really reflect on firearms in our culture, because they're the professionals. You know, the veteran is someone who's really spent a career around firearms, understands safety protocols. And so the seed for this particular character, who I call Slinger, came from an interview I did in Tennessee a number of years ago. And that writing exercise turned into a solo performance called Ghost Town Bardo. And there was a break during kind of COVID fear of public gatherings, and the Arts Council in Haynes that summer produced a public reading at the Chilcat Center in the lobby, and everyone was excited just to get out of their houses and come together again. And I did this reading, and that the seed of that story of Slinger was really the spine of what became eventually this film, American Solitaire. It's his story. It evolved and changed a lot from that reading. But yeah, that's sort of a long way of saying that one of the big creative sparks was hatched in Haynes.
So how did you get from, after that sort of one person show idea, how did it then morph into a film? And you have, because a film requires so many people, and I know you have some awesome producers on this film. How did it go from that one person show into deciding to make this a movie?
Yeah, I had a supporter, a funder come to me, and who had already seeded a little bit of money for this exploration of guns and gun violence in America. And she had a substantial vision, she had a vision and said, I really want to move the needle on this. If we can put together some more funding, what could we do? And so I really thought about it, and I figured if we want to quote unquote move the needle, which I think really means shift the conversation in a bigger way, then we should make a film, because cinema is going to be able to have a much broader reach than theater ever can. And the form is exciting to me, as I learned so much through making Wrestling Jerusalem. And so I started taking that narrative of Slinger and writing it into a screenplay, and beginning to put together the building blocks of what would become a feature, an independent feature film.
So you wrote it, and I know you had also written Wrestling Jerusalem previously. That became a film, but you didn't direct that one. So this one is your directorial debut. Now, you've had experience directing in the theater before, a lot of experience doing that. What was that transition like from directing theater to directing a film with lenses and understanding all those pieces of it and all that kind of thing?
Crew of 40 people and a 20-day shoot, and the time pressure of money just pouring out of your hands the minute you wake up in the morning till when you go to sleep. It was a steep learning curve. I had a really, really wonderful collaboration with my cinematographer, Hannah Kitase, and she teaches cinematography at AFI, and we just really clicked. And so I didn't worry too much about lenses and camera, because that was really her area of expertise. And she really guided me along. I've been sort of an amateur photographer for my whole life, so I do have an opinion and sensibility about framing and things like that. But I was really in good hands with her in terms of camera. You know, a lot of the other stuff is for a longer conversation sometime about the difference between building a theater piece and building a film. Just very different, such a profoundly different process. The film is really an emerging, as you're making it, it's what I learned to call an emergent art form. It emerges in front of you, and that's the film you're making. We sit on set every day. This is the film we're making. It's not the one you planned. It's the one you're making. And you have to be nimble. But the main thing that translated, and I'll sort of say this with great kind of pride, is how to create the directing actors to really arrive at a moment of truth emotionally and be able to capture that on camera. And that, whether you're doing that on stage, whether you do that on a camera, it's the same. And so I've spent a whole career around performance narrative and how to make performance honest, both as a performer, as a writer, and also as a director. And so when all the tricky business was done of getting a shot set up on a particular day and a particular location with the particular crew and the particular actors and the scenic design and all the stuff, when we rolled camera, my actors were ready. Mm. And I was ready to really play and work with them so that we really got what we were after, the heart, the real heart of the story. And so I think when you see the film, you'll feel the performances really ring true. I'm really proud of the performances in this film, and I think the actors are as well.
Yeah, as I used to say when I would teach camera class, the camera doesn't lie. It captures only the truth. That's all it can see is the truth. It's so interesting. So then the question becomes, why are we so lucky to get a pre-release tour here in Southeast Alaska? What's this all about?
Hey man, I'm the lucky one to have communities in Southeast that want to see my work. It's about connecting with community. I mean, the whole reason I made the film is so that we could come together in a dark room, engage with this material, and have a conversation. I mean, that's really the whole point. It's not about getting it on Netflix to stream to as many people as possible around the world at home on their couch. It's about community. It's about conversation. I think one of the kind of underlying themes, it's not a bold theme, but it's beneath this, it's in the subtext of this whole film, is the issue around masculinity and isolation. Mm. and how that can turn to violence, whether it's self-inflicted or inflicted upon others. And I think that one of the kind of meta exercises of a film like this is to invite people to come out and be together and experience the film and then talk about it, because, you know, we're living in a time where actually the World Health Organization last year put out a statement that there's a loneliness epidemic worldwide. Mm. One in seven people or something like that, meaning they're having a debilitating level of loneliness. Mm. And so I just feel like one of the things I can offer as a filmmaker is an invitation to come be together, don't be lonely, and connect around story, which, as you know, as a theater artist, that's what we do. That's what we're good at. We're good at convening community around story. And so I love Southeast Alaska. I love the communities that I have relationships with. And I want to engage with them and you around the film.
Yeah, and I know we were talking about it before we went on air that, you know, it's our membership drive week this week, but you serve on one of the boards there at KHNS in Haines. And that's so right. You're a lover of public media as well. And so sharing.
I'm a lover of public. Yes. And I'll give a shout out to K2 and to all the listenership to step up and make a contribution during the fund drive, because especially because of the federal cuts, all of community radio in Alaska has to do some extra duty.
Yeah.
And it's.
That's cool. I'm talking with Aaron Davidman. He's got a new film, his directorial debut, American Solitaire. You can find it at americansolitairefilm.com. There's going to be some really cool screenings here in Southeast, pre-release. The movie's going to open, I think, in other cities in April, but we're getting sort of a sneak peek of the movie. If you're in Haines, it's on March 18th. In Skagway, it's on March 20th. And here in Juneau, it's on March 23rd. And that's going to be at the Gold Town Nick. And you can go to americansolitairefilm.com and get yourself a ticket for that. And then you're going to be offering a Q&A afterwards to talk about the film and, as you said, sort of create the conversation around this film, the subjects in this film, and possibly also maybe take some questions on how you get a film made. I think people are really interested in, how do you go from an idea to getting something like this done. Obviously, you talked about, I believe, Lisa Bruce, one of your executive producers, who sort of stepped up and said, "Hey, Aaron, you can do this, and here's some money, and let's make it happen."
Lisa Bruce was not the funder.
Oh, okay.
She came on board after I had some funding, after I had the screenplay ready to go, and she read an early draft of it, and then came on board kind of as a creative producer. Yeah, and she brought David Oyelowo on, who she works with. And so the two of them kind of from a kind of high level EP executive producer position have helped to shepherd the,
oh, sure,
the film along. And then the funding producer, Maris Meyerson, another funder, Dan Cohn, came in with funding, and then we raised more money. And it takes a village.
Yeah. Short. It really takes a community to make a film happen. It's really cool. And do you feel like this direction is going to move forward for you? Do you want to direct more films? Or I know you write and act a lot, but do you feel like directing some films might be possible down the line for you?
Well, it's sort of out of my hands. It's such a big lift. I drove this thing, and I'm still driving it. And I guess the answer to your question is, I would love to direct more cinema, and I hope I get the opportunity to.
Yeah, I know it takes it's different than, like, as an actor, you come into the project and then you do the project and you're done. But as the director, you've got to go into the edit. You're doing the pre, you're doing the actual shooting, and then you're doing the post, and you're in it for a long time. You've been working on this project for a while.
Boston, we wrapped picture 2 years ago, March 2nd.
Wow.
And my actors have gone off and done, Josh Close has done, three films and two TV shows. And these people are off and doing their careers. And I'm like still staring at their same mugs, in the edit bay. So, well, the edit's long been finished, but still.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. That's so fun. Well, Aaron Davidman, thank you so much for joining us on Juno Afternoon to talk a little bit about American Solitaire. You can go to americansolitairefilm.com to find out more information. That screening is Monday, March 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at the Gold Town Theater. You can get your tickets and info at that website, americansolitairefilm.com. Learn a little bit about it, see the trailer, and some other information about people involved in the film. Aaron, what a great pleasure to see you again and to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Nice to see you, Boston. Thanks for having me.
Gwyneth Cheesh. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We'll be right back with Con Brio.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
She was.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Combrio presents Art Songs with Sarah Radke Brown, soprano, Candice Lavolsi, harp, with support from some other talented folks who you just heard on that recording, including Sally Schlichting, who was playing the flute there. On the docket is the music of Debussy, Hahn, Strauss, Schubert, Schumann, Dvorak, and some others that I can't pronounce that maybe we'll hear about in the interview. Performances are this Friday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at Chapel by the Lake, and then on Saturday, March 14th at 2 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum Concerts, as always with Conbrio, our pay as you can. And I am pleased to welcome to the studio now Candice, Sarah, and Sally. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Candice, wasiati. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Sarah, nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Sally, welcome back, as always, to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Combrio's been busy this season.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So you tell me a little bit about how this performance, Art Songs, came about.
Oh, I got an email from Sarah. She said, like to do this. And so I was thrilled, thrilled to hear about this idea. And wonderful to have Candice come from San Diego to play harp. And lovely program.
So Sarah, it sounds like you're the inciting action here. Like, where did this idea come from? What were you thinking when you thought of Art Songs?
So years ago, Candice and I, and Sally actually, played for a concert at the Shrine of St. Therese. Mm. It was the Aves at the Shrine that the Juno Lyric Opera used to produce. And Candice came up for performance, and I said, oh my goodness, Candice, we've got to do an art song recital. It would just be lovely to do a whole song with, you know, a whole recital with harp. And she agreed. And, you know, I recently left JLO and to pursue, you know, between Vox Borealis and just my own desire to do some solo work. I brought up the idea back up to Candice and I said, hey, you know, how do you feel about the idea of revisiting that solo recital with harp? And she said, yeah, let's do it. So then I said, well, Sally, Combrio is into chamber music, you know, producing chamber concerts. So I said, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, more than happy to.
That's so great. So what does Art Songs mean? What does that encompass?
Ooh, well, you know, art song, you have arias that come from operas. And art song really is more of the style of chamber music and the salon music, you know, when you perform for your friends in your house, or small recital work. You know, they're generally, you know, love songs, and oftentimes they're accompanied by piano, you know, especially like the romantic period, you know, Debussy, Schubert, Schumann, that's sort of the art song style that came about of performing outside of an opera, outside
they
of a
stand
stage
on their own.
They
right?
stand on their own, yeah. Exactly.
And it seems like it's maybe a little more, like a little, it's like a comfort concert,
yeah,
almost,
exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
They're just delicious little pieces.
Now. Yeah, I see. And Candice, tell me a little bit about you and this your relationship with Sarah.
Okay. Well, it starts with I play with the Juno Symphony, and I've been coming up for 22 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And a former conductor, Kyle Wiley Pickett, was a conductor in Northern California as well as here. And ended up purchasing my old they got a grant and purchased my old harp. Alexander the Great is his name. And I thought, oh, I'll get to come up and play one time and that'll be it. And then they'll bring in someone else. And actually, Sally was on that concert. You play this amazing flute piece. Yes.
Scheherazade.
And I thought it was going to be a one and done. And I just fell in love with Juno and this community. And
wait, are you saying this was 22 years ago?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You remember this
song? Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you were wearing a red dress.
Wow. Man, this is the deets.
And then my connection with Sarah. Sarah actually, I think it was, what, 12 years ago, 13, 14, somewhere in there, years ago. Was the executive director
for the Juno Symphony.
Yes. Oh. And immediately, as soon as I met you, I was like, oh, this is Oh, I love her. Yeah. And
I love her too.
And so, yeah, just so, yeah, talking about music and collaboration and doing that Aves concert was amazing. And then I think one of our connecting composers, as far as from the soul, is the Rinaldo Hahn pieces. And, oh, just they're so evocative. And he was, he wrote them at what age? Was it 20?
Well,
or
some
18?
Of them I think he wrote, yeah, in his teens.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're
remarkably
gorgeous.
Emotionally intelligent. And, yeah, so they're just tender, tender pieces. And they're originally, you know, for piano and voice, but somehow the harp. And then, you know, working with the instrument and its delicate nature, making it work on the harp is and then, of course, listening to Sarah and then matching her energy with the music and what the meaning of the words are and evoking that through the touch of the strings. That's the beauty of the harp, is there's nothing in between you and the sound. It's right there in your fingertips and how you... what the energy you put into it, how it influences the tone. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's not a lot of music written specifically for voice and harp.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in my search for pieces, it became a let me see if I can find a recording of this being done before, so that I knew that whatever I was handing Candace, at least.
It's doable
because she's done a lot of transcription work to make a lot of these pieces work for this concert.
It is
amazing.
That's so interesting.
The handwritten notes she's written in her music. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm sorry, Candace.
No,
I didn't mean to
so
give you so much
fun.
Work to do, but it's so much fun.
Candace, how did you get started with the harp? When did that come into your life?
I fell in love with it at age 8.
8?
Yes. I saw a harpist at the World's Fair in Spokane.
Mm.
Yep. I saw her on stage and I was in love. I didn't even know what the name of the instrument was. I just saw this. She was wearing aqua. What is this with color?
You know color. Yeah, you're making an impression on you.
And I just, I was taken by the sound and the visual and just very powerful. And I fell in love and had to convince my parents, of course, you know, because, you know,
harps aren't cheap.
They're not cheap. And they're not easy to transform.
And they're big, yeah.
And they're big, so.
Do you play different styles of harp? Because I know there's different sizes of harps. I've seen those giant ones that people have, and then there's some smaller ones. There's different kinds of harps.
Yes.
Are you partial to one particular kind?
I'm partial to the concert grand. That's the one you were referring to, the very big one.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I'll be playing on this concert. But I also have it's a therapy harp. It's only 22 pounds. And I did study music for healing and transition, so playing at the bedside. Mm. And then also Celtic music sounds really great on that type of an instrument. Mm. Lever harp is what it's also called.
Right. The lever harp. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then for a while I had a wire strung, which is a very different technique. You're playing with your nails and you're playing and damping at the same time because those wire strings just ring forever. And so, but I let that one go because it's so different from everything else.
Well, it's so cool. And I opened the interview with there was a video and audio of rehearsal. Tell me about that, Sarah. What was in that? Because you said it was like a melody. It was started with some Scarborough Fair stuff, and then we went into other things. What was that?
Yeah, so that what you heard was Mario Totaro's the first song of the set of his folk songs. There are four in the set, and it starts with Scarborough Fair, and then it transitions into this lovely little French folk song. And from there, it goes into a Neapolitan Italian folk song, take your heart out, kind of depressing. The words are very evocative. And then the final set of the piece is a Russian folk song.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's really Mario. I don't know, honestly. I don't know a ton about Mario Totaro himself. He is a living composer in Italy, and we were looking for, part of the program includes Sally on one of the open piece that we're doing in the program. And then also William Todd Hunt is joining me on some of the German pieces in the program. And I said, it would be great to find something we can all do together. And again, though, because there's not a lot of pieces written even just for soprano and voice alone, to find something that was written specifically for all of our instruments was very special find. And I sent it to the group, and I said, what do you guys think? And
it's
they
extraordinary.
All went,
oh, it's,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
extraordinary.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I
so
love
fun.
This piece so
yeah.
much.
Very
yeah.
creative.
So great.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It goes through the highs and lows. I mean, it just fun, flirtatious, you know, childlike in some places, and then really, honestly, down to the depths of, you know, the darkest depression.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is Juno Afternoon. We're talking about Art Songs, which is being presented by Con Brio this Friday, March 13th at 7 p.m. at Chapel by the Lake, and then Saturday, March 14th, 2 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum. Concerts are pay as you can. I mentioned a couple of the composers. We just talked about this one with the music that we heard. What else is on the program? What else are we going to be hearing?
Well, I can tell you what you heard in the video is the only song in English.
Okay.
On the whole program. we have a set of French songs. We mentioned the Reynaldo On pieces earlier that were written when he was in his teens. Some Debussy, and then a German set with Strauss, Schumann, and Schubert, including Schubert's Gretchen on Spinnrade, which is Gretchen at the spinning wheel, and it's got these very, very, very tight a little
arpeggios.
Melodic, yeah, arpeggios, and hearing Candace play that, it's like, that's got to make your arms ache. But man, she is,
it's impressive.
It is impressive. She is an absolute pro what she's done with these pieces.
Wow.
I'm just so impressed, and it's such a joy to play them with her and sing with her. And then we have Rimsky-Korsakov, The Nightingale and the Rose, kind of inadvertently. There's a lot of references to night and nightingales in this, and it was purely by accident. It was not intentional. It just happened to flow that way.
Maybe it has to do with the cozy nature of
Maybe.
The music. I don't
yeah.
know. That could be interesting. And do you? It's interesting when you mention that some of them are in, you know, obviously the different languages and stuff. Do you speak those languages, or do you figure out like, okay, I'm going to sing in French. I need to know what those words are, and so I'm going to look up what the meaning of this is, and that's what you kind of do, because it's always in like the repertoire of songs, right? For
yeah.
people.
So part of my I finished my coursework for a doctorate in vocal performance from Indiana University, and part of your vocal performance degree program is you take accelerated language courses, and then on top of that you take diction, and you use a lot of the international phonetic alphabet in order to decipher. You know, you learn the rules of the language. You don't necessarily always understand, you know, what you're saying. It's kind of strange. I tell people oftentimes, I make the joke that I could string along, you know, French, German, Italian into one sentence. But if you ask me to say the whole sentence in one of the languages, I'll probably struggle.
Because
it's just, there's so much information that's crammed into you during the degree program. You don't necessarily always retain it. You know, you're not fully immersed for a long period of time to really absorb it. But you work with IPA and the rules of using IPA. And the language rules that you get a sense for all of the Romance languages pretty quickly, and you know that is retained. And then I use source books to find translations and you know international phonetic alphabet transliterations of the pieces.
Oh, interesting! That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
And I know you said that you're not with Juno Lyric Opera anymore.
I am not.
So what's next for Sarah Radke Brown?
This.
Okay.
I mean, I'm doing it. This is exactly what I want to be doing. I just had a concert with Vox Borealis, and now I'm doing this. And yeah, so hopefully more of things like this to come.
More performances in the future. That's excellent.
Yeah.
And what's next for Con Brio?
Oh. I'm actually going to be taking a break for a while.
A little breaky break.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so nothing planned for next year.
Nothing planned for next year at this point. And somebody's going to come bother you for something, I bet.
I'm sure someone will. You know, it creates space in the incredibly busy arts calendar in this community for others to step in.
But you might still be playing with others and doing things like that, but you just won't be producing as Combrio right now.
Exactly.
I see. And Candace, I know you're not a full-timer here, but what's next for you?
Well, my dream is to find a very wealthy benefactor and bring everyone down to San Diego and perform this again.
I love to perform this again.
That's what is next. Or even coming back up here to Juneau and doing it again somewhere in Southeast Alaska. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. Well, it's Art Songs. Combrio's presenting it this Friday and Saturday. Friday is at Chapel by the Lake. Saturday is at the Alaska State Museum. Concerts are pay as you can. You can find Combrio on Facebook and see some great information. I can just quickly show here for those who are watching on the stream the poster for the concert, a lovely poster, and music for voice and harp. That's what you're going to be hearing this Friday and Saturday. Candace, Sari, Sally, thank you. Sarah,
thank you.
Sally. I went to say Sally before I finished saying Sarah. Candace, Sarah, Sally, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakhul'at Florence Marks Shakley. And the word this week is Kut'ayanaha.
Kut'ayanaha.
That means star. And here is a sentence.
Kut'ayanaha tutinuch kekunasate.
We always see stars when the weather is cold. Let's hear it again.
Kut'ayanaha.
Star. Gunashchish Tukhune, Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juneau Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juneau STEAM Coalition is hosting Curiosity Unleashed, a community STEAM event for K-6 families. It's coming this Monday, March 16th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at Thunder Mountain Middle School. The theme for this year's event is Cycles and Spirals, Patterns and Process. We'll find out what that means here in just a second. I'm joined by Ebet Sidden and Brenda Taylor. They join me now in the studio to share more. Gunath Cheesh, Wasiyati, how are you, Ebet?
Thank you. I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Of course. And Brenda, how are you today? Wasiyati?
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. So this has been, how many years has Curiosity Unleashed been going on now? Do we know?
So we think this is the eighth one. It wasn't called Curiosity Unleashed the first couple of times.
Okay.
But I think the first one was in 2017, actually. And then
we
took a couple of years off for COVID.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But anyway. So never mind.
Those years, I don't even know what those years are. Block them out. Block them out. So this year's theme, well, first of all, let's start with what is the Juneau STEAM Coalition? Let's set that table.
We are a group of community, really volunteers. It's a mix of interested community members, local STEAM experts, and people just really interested in connecting the wealth of STEAM experts in this town with our classrooms and students for learning opportunities.
Okay, and what is STEAM?
Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
Okay, great. And so this is like a loose coalition of people? This is just people who are interested in wanting to be on the coalition?
So at this point, yes, very loose. We started 10 years ago, and we met monthly, and we were bigger, and we did a whole lot of other things and newspaper columns and STEAM summits, getting STEAM organizations together and a little bit more like lobbying to the legislature. Anyway, a variety of things, a database. We did a networking for teachers and STEAM experts.
I see.
And we got exhausted trying to do all of that. So
yes.
This is the thing that is also very exhausting, but it's very clear that the community was really interested in continuing it. So we've been like, okay, we can make this thing continue to happen, and it's worthwhile.
I see. Okay. So this particular thing, Curiosity Unleashed, tell me a little bit about that. What's going to be happening on Monday?
So as you said, 5:30 to 7:30, K-6 families, but we encourage anybody else to come. It's just we're sort of trying to say that's the age range to help presenters to know what kind of activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are spread across the commons and two wings and the side commons. There's about 50 different activities.
Wow.
So that's a lot. And it's kind of like a fair, you know, or any of the many things we have in Juneau, and you can go to whichever ones you want. There's actually a program, so you can read through and say, oh, these are the ones I want to go. I'm going to go directly to the snake, or I really want to go see the Ignite Farm Animals or the Sea Dogs or learn about tidal current energy. Anyway, whatever those things are, we really want to encourage people not to do everything because that's impossible. But it's totally up to you what you do, what interests your family and you. You go and look. We'll also have questions up above each activity that might help you decide, like, oh, how does light affect the mood and emotion in a picture? So that's a photographer that I just talked to today who will have different lights up, and you're like, do you want the lights up on the top or the side or underneath? And how much are you going to zoom in? How is that going to change, right? How are you exploring this to understand those different variables? Or so we'll have questions that help people understand sort of the ideas that are being gotten at in that activity. So that lets you think a little bit, oh, yeah, I think I do really want to explore that question. Or how do salmon know which stream they're coming home to, which is a great little smell thing with different smells that he's got set up.
Oh, wow.
And Q-tips and scents.
Oh, that's so fun.
But everything is really designed to be hands-on, 5 minutes, 25 minutes, really up to that individual child and family.
It's kind of like Disneyland. You can't do it all in one day, probably.
Exactly.
Not in 2 hours, all the events. Now, I heard somewhere, I think it was someone in our newsroom was talking about this, that there's like 40 or so groups that you have involved.
50.
There's actually 50. So each one of these activities is set up by a different group?
I mean, there's we have like several fishy activities from NOAA, but that's also we've got UAF fisheries under and UAS undergraduate fisheries. So we have kind of a fish section, but
let me see.
It's a lot of. I think we've reached far into the community and have a wide range of people involved.
I think that's really cool. And that says a lot about the importance of these elements, right? That these groups are willing to come, and they're not getting paid to do that, right? They're just coming to sort of help educate K through 6, and probably the parents that are there as well might get some education while their kids are getting it as well. But like they're really sort of sending out, it's part of their mission probably to make this happen, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say when I talk to some of these STEAM experts, they're so excited to have a way to be able to connect with students. Like, oh, really? Like, I get to share my passion and these cool things that I get to do all day and get them to look inside the microscope or think about how you develop the fins on a turbine to make them be most effective, that you're going to get the most energy. Like, I can show them my whole invention process, or I didn't know there was this cool way to connect the cool things that I get to do with my community.
I see. Okay.
So I think they really enjoy that opportunity.
Yeah. And Yvette, what is the idea, what is the hope by putting on something like Curiosity Unleashed for these students? What is the hope that you want to come out of this event?
I mean, I think it could range, right? It's and I always think about the STEAM Coalition. It isn't just so that the STEAM experts can help teachers bring activities into classrooms. It really is a two-way. Just what Brenda was saying, it's exciting for us. We get stuff out of it, too, to be able to go into a classroom, you know, learn how to teach maybe about the science that we do. And remember that we got into doing this because we were really excited about science as kids, and now we get to do it in our day job. So it's a two-way street. But at Curiosity Unleashed, it could be anything, right? A goal is to like see a kid's eyes light up, all the way to maybe you do connect a STEAM expert and a teacher and they spark and they're working on a classroom curriculum on some topic that they both are interested in.
I see. Okay. That's really cool. Yeah, Brenda.
I would also add that we're hoping that parents get a little bit of a takeaway of like, oh, my kid's really interested in this. I had no idea. Or last year, my kid was not interested in this particular activity. And now, like, the questions he's asking are so cool. So parents are doing a little, like, touch base with their kids and how they're developing and what their interests are. And like you were talking about the theme of patterns, right? So each year we're trying to we choose an idea, like a mindset that is integral to STEAM thinking and STEAM making. And by focusing on that pattern, not to the elimination of everything else or exclusion, but just, hey, we could think about this, we're hoping that we help parents be a little bit more aware of that idea. Like, who cares about patterns and cycles? Well, actually, they happen all the time, not just in Yvette's lab. And so if, as a parent, I'm like, oh, patterns are important, I'm going to ask my kid, I'm not going to tell my kid how to sort, I'm going to ask my kid how to sort their dirty laundry or how to clean their room, right? If you're saying, how can I organize my room? It's a pattern of like, maybe everything that's a writing tool is going to go in one box. That's like you're organizing your head to say, I'm looking for these categories and these types of things that show up in a similar way. And that's going to help me think of questions, think about how I might want to store as simply as what's in my room. And then that's going to connect to, oh, I'm going to be a scientist, or I'm going to realize that odd and even numbers, like there's a reason going on there. And if I understand what's going on in the pattern, math is not going to be something I'm memorizing, but something, a structure that I'm understanding and making sense of.
I love that.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's really, that's awesome. They make me want to learn more about patterns.
We'll see you on Monday.
It made me think about those people who organize their bookshelves by color.
Right, that's a choice.
Or genre or whatever, but the color ones are really fascinating to
me.
Like they choose that pattern to do that. So again, the theme is cycles and spirals, patterns and process. I'm curious, is that something you let the people who are exhibiting there know as well, like that's the theme? And then are they getting some of their activities to be sort of centered around that? I see. That's kind of cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No. So, for instance, with the Weather Service, they come every year.
Okay.
And so they could certainly do the activity they've done before, but I think they welcome the opportunity to think about what are we going to do about the weather in a new way. So like, oh, how are we going to look at patterns this year? Or Discovery Southeast, they're doing patterns in nature.
Right.
Or like John Harley said, he's bringing in a lot of clamshells and saying, from looking at the pattern on the shell, how can you tell what species that is?
Oh, that's so
fascinating. So it's sometimes a group that returns year after year and they do a different activity because of the theme. And sometimes it's a different group that's like, oh, I can connect to that theme, so I'm going to come. And sometimes they don't connect to the theme at all, and that's totally, totally fine.
And Yvette, do you find, like, when you're talking to these students and stuff, like, do you see like the potential that they might end up, you know, maybe taking your job someday? Like, I'm joking in that way, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's a hope, right? Like, we need the next generation.
That maybe they come intern with you or they start thinking about, do you see those eyes light up and be like, oh, that kind of, I want to do that kind of research.
One of the things I'm most excited about this year at NOAA, we have strengthened our collaboration with the UAF fisheries graduate students and the UAS fisheries undergraduate students. And they've been helping us as we've lost staff still be able to do these community events. And for me, like, that's sort of the next step removed for me when I think about the next generation and keeping getting people excited, right? And then they're there with fresh energy, getting the, you know, the high school, the elementary school kids excited. So.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's Curiosity Unleashed. It's a community STEAM event for K through 6 families. It's Monday, March 16th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's out at Thunder Mountain Middle School. And for more about the Juno STEAM Coalition, you can go to junosteam.org. And you can find out more information about the event there as well. Do you guys have like Facebook and Instagram and all that too?
We do, but we don't get enough traffic that it will pop up high enough, so we've kind of given up on that a little bit. Again, when we were talking about where do we put our volunteer energy.
Right, for sure, I know. I've heard that a lot from volunteer organizations recently, that there's, you know, it's just, it's difficult because you're doing it in your spare time and those things are, they can be difficult to manage.
It is in the, like the Juno School District Family Engagement Facebook page. I know it's been posted in there quite a bit and I've seen it. Like we've sent it out through the school district quite a bit. And so I've seen it on some of the school websites and in the newsletters. So we're hoping that that message, that people are looking at the things that are coming to them through their schools as well.
Well, I appreciate you being here today. Brenda Ebet, thank you so much. JunoSteam.org, the Juno STEAM Coalition Curiosity Unleashed, happening on Monday. Gonna cheese.
Thank you.
Cheese. Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Reminder, it is our spring membership drive. Your support makes shows like Juno Afternoon and so much more here at KTOO possible. Become a member at ktoo.org. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO, Juno 104.3, and KAUK, Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Live stream archives are available on KTO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from listeners and viewers like you, plus Tonga's Federal Credit Union, Country Financial, Hanson, Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh!